Good morning and welcome to all of you on this Sunday, the 11th of April 2021. And this is our online service for Bedhampton Parish. Last week we celebrated Easter and I spoke to you about living each day as if you're a Sunday person, not in the despair of Good Friday. I wonder how you've got on this week with this. Today we're returning to our passages on Philippians. And we're going to be looking at rejoicing in Christ. And later, Vanda is going to come and talk to us. And I'm sure she's going to talk to us about rejoicing always, not just when things are easy or when things are going our way. The last year has been a difficult time for all of us as we've learned to survive in a global pandemic. We've had to adjust to new ways of worship amongst many things. Today, we look forward to being able to join together again in person in our church services from next Sunday. We're going to be having a 9 o'clock service at St Nicholas and an 11 o'clock service at St Thomas, and you'd be welcome to come and join us. We will ask you to wear masks and keep yourself safe, but there's no need to book in. Please just turn up. However, if you don't feel like joining us or are unable to join us in person, we will still be doing our online offering. So you won't miss out. Don't forget, we've also got our midweek Holy Communion. We've got our 8 o'clock prayer service on Wednesday. And St Thomas is open in the week for private prayer. As we come together this morning in the family of God, please join with me in the words. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And also with you. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And remembering we're Sunday people, let's say that again. Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Lord Jesus, set our hearts on fire with your love, that with joy and thankfulness in our hearts, we, your followers, may once again set out inspired by the message of the cross and the joy of Easter Day. Amen. And now please do join with me in singing that lovely resurrection song, The Greatest Day in History.
See you.
I don't know about you, but I always love singing that song and being reminded of that greatest day in history when Jesus not only died but rose again for us. Amen. And now as we come together, we're going to have a few prayers just to bring us into God's presence and to prepare us for the rest of the service. We are not just once a week friends. We are the family of God. We are not a cosy club. We are the body of Christ. We are not simply strangers meeting. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. We are not here by accident. Our Father has called us to worship. We are not just filling up an hour. Jesus wants us to know him better. We are not here just to go through the motions. The Holy Spirit has some special words for us. We meet in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please join with me in reading the words of Psalm 29, a psalm of David. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendour of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. And now let's join together in the words of the Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And as we've just said together what we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Let's join together in the words of the song, There's No Greater Sacrifice, as we remember what Jesus did for each one of us. Mm-hmm.
sacrifice than laying down a blameless life. You became sin for me, my Saviour and my friend. An angry cross, a crimson tide, the Son of God there crucified. You became sin for me, my Saviour and my friend. You are holy, King of glory. Give your life for me, my Saviour and my friend. Chose to bear my guilt, my shame, my darkest thoughts, my spear of pain. You became sin for me, my Saviour and my friend. There's nothing that I could give but live to die and die to live. You became endless grace, my Saviour and my friend. You are holy, King of glory. Give your life for me, my Saviour and my friend.
I don't know about you, but those words get me every time. Jesus chose to bear my guilt, my shame. He chose to do it. He chose to become sin for me. He truly is my Saviour and my friend. And now we're going to come to look at the Word of God. Catherine and Rosalind are going to come and read to us. And following that, Vanda is going to come and speak to us all.
The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 5. Prayer. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Philippians 4, verses 1 to 9. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement. and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the Book of Life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learnt or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Greetings from Farlington. After our church's short break to celebrate, remember and rejoice in Jesus' resurrection on Easter Sunday, we continue today with a sermon related to Session 7 of our church study, Discipleship Explored, using the New Testament book of Philippians. I'm using the titles of each of the 8 sessions, if you haven't been following the course. Confident in Christ. We can be confident that God, who began a good work in us, will bring it to completion. Because God is at work in us, we won't be passive. We'll want to respond by growing in our knowledge and love of Him. Living in Christ. After having left behind his life of rule-keeping as a Pharisee and surrendering his life to Jesus, Paul's life became all about knowing Jesus himself and making him known to others. I wonder, are we living in Jesus and for Jesus? Are we known as his followers and disciples? Or are we just rule-keeping like Paul before his conversion? Do we have a real relationship with our risen Lord and Saviour? One in Christ. In our passage today, Paul names two women, Euodia and Syntyche, who had contended at his side as co-workers in spreading the gospel, but they were now at odds with one another. Wouldn't they have been ashamed to know that their disagreement was being read and preached about 2,000 years on? Oh my goodness. I wonder what would happen if our leader, Max, chose to expose those in our church family who aren't loving one another as they should. Wouldn't that make us all more aware of how we behave? By the way, I'm not suggesting that Max does that, but I do think we all need to consider our behaviour towards one another. We're called to love. We're not to judge or criticise. After all, we are all God's children, disciples in the making, and no one has been made perfect yet, apart from Jesus and those who have died in Christ. Would we want to be the one who is named as causing dissension or friction in the church? Paul says in Romans, "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think of yourself with sober judgment, according to the measure of faith God has given you." And in Galatians 5, he says, "Serve one another humbly in love." I wonder if there's anyone listening who knows that they're holding a grudge towards a fellow believer, or anyone else for that matter. We cannot bear grudges and call ourselves sincere followers of Jesus. That's not consistent with the gospel of love that he shows us, the love that took him to suffer on the cross because of our sin.
If we do bear a grudge for whatever reason, maybe we need to seek inner healing, perhaps even help from a counsellor. Obedient in Christ. This obedience mustn't attempt to earn our salvation. Jesus has already earned it for us. And Paul says, work out your salvation, not work for your salvation. Righteous in Christ. God will not accept any self-righteousness on our part. But when we put our complete trust in Jesus, what he has done for us on the cross, then we are covered by his righteousness. Transformed in Christ. Believers can forget what is behind because we know we are forgiven, and everything in our past is ultimately intended by God to make us more like Christ. Jesus is more valuable to Paul than anything. Paul wants to do whatever it takes to know Jesus better and become more like him. What about us? Rejoicing in Christ is the subject of this week's study and sermon. The phrase in Christ reminds believers that we are completely united with Christ when we turn to him in repentance. All that is his is ours. And finally, the last one coming next week, content in Christ. Paul knew that deep contentment can be experienced regardless of how much or how little we have, because it's found in Jesus. There are only 4 short chapters in this letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi, a church he had founded and he loved it dearly. In this letter, I counted, as I'm wont to do, over 40 instances where Paul uses the expression in Christ or in the Lord. These 2 words refer to the spiritual state of Christian believers. When we decide to follow Jesus, to turn away from sin and to become his disciple, we learn from him, and over time we become more like him. That is, if we remain in him. In John 15, Jesus tells his disciples, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter, awaiting trial and possibly his execution, but he was able to say, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I'll say it again, rejoice. Wow. But let's be clear. Paul said rejoice in the Lord and not in your circumstances. He said rejoice in the Lord always, not just when we feel like it. Our feelings can't be trusted. Our joy in the Lord is not dependent on our outward circumstances or our feelings. It's dependent on the unchanging love and presence of Jesus. When we focus on Jesus and what he has done for us by bringing us close to God through the forgiveness of our sins, then we can certainly rejoice like Paul, whatever our circumstances. But it's not easy. It's something we learn to do over time. It takes practice. We can't change our circumstances, but we can change how we think of them. We can begin to change our anxious thoughts to those Paul has listed in our passage today. He tells us, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. When we dwell on our problems, then we will not have peace. When we dwell on the promises of God and the love of God seen in Jesus, we will find peace. This letter is often called the epistle or letter of joy, and indeed Paul uses the words joy and rejoice repeatedly within it. I didn't count those though. Paul was able to rejoice because he says, "The Lord is near." Are you aware of the Lord's presence with you, or are you allowing your outward circumstances to override your peace? Are you anxious about something now? The answer is probably yes, since we are still dealing with a worldwide pandemic. And if that isn't enough, there were many anxieties before the pandemic, and most of them have not been resolved yet. But, says Paul, do not be anxious about anything. He doesn't say just don't be anxious. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I wonder whether you have ever watched The Repair Shop on TV. Colin and I love it. People take items that mean a lot to them, which have been broken or damaged in some way. The task of restoring the item is given to an appropriate gifted craft worker. The item is left in confidence and trust that the repair shop will be able to restore it. Many times the item is restored to an almost new condition that could not have been imagined by the owner. Isn't that a picture of prayer? Surely, as disciples of Christ, we should take everything to God in prayer, trusting that He is in control of all things and that He loves us and cares for us. And then Paul assures us that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In the words of the very old hymn, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice.
Thank you for that, Vanda. There was certainly a lot for us to reflect on today. And Vanda mentioned in her sermon one of my favourite hymns, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. So let's join together and sing that wonderful hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus."
To bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. With trials and temptations, is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every word.
encumbered with a load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friend despise, forsake thee, take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms to take and share thee, thou wilt find a solace.
Vanda also reminded us of the words from Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Therefore, let us join together as Colin leads us in our time of intercessions.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we come before you now in prayer. You meet us in whatever circumstance or state we may find ourselves at this time. Whatever that may be, may we live our lives for Christ and stand firm in him. As we hear Paul's plea for unity, we think of all the conflicts of the world, from those disagreements at a personal level that we might have, right the way through to the wars of nations. We pray against the spirit of greed, pride, ethnic hatred, and all those things that show man's inhumanity to man. We pray for the Christian church throughout the world, aware of the many divisions we see there. Within the Anglican Church, the divisive arguments surrounding issues of doctrine, gender and such. And we pray for our own diocese at this time as decisions are made about the future of our churches. May we come together in accord and love for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. May we show gentleness to all those we meet and have contact with. Loving Father, we thank you for the gift of joy and the fruit of rejoicing, whatever our circumstance. Help us to capture all our thoughts of doubts and imaginings prompted by the enemy, to steal your heavenly gift of joy that is ours in Christ. You are worthy of all our praise. May we never cease to rejoice in you all the days of our lives. We continue to pray throughout this time of the COVID pandemic for healing and immunity from this devastating virus. Lord, we know you are in it with us. We cannot predict the outcome, so may we trust in you. We thank you for all those treating others, the doctors, nurses, medics, and other frontline services. Lord, you've told us in your word to be anxious for nothing. We know of many who are anxious at this time, and we may include ourselves. Anxious about loved ones who may be ill or in need of help. For those struggling with finances or relationships, many of which may have been caused by the pandemic. We bring before you those who are alone and isolated. For those who've lost loved ones, and we think especially of those on our weekly sheet. And in a moment of silence, others known to us. Lord, you said in your word not to be anxious, but to bring everything to you by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. So we do so now, giving thanks for all the blessings we have in our lives that we see daily. that we may receive your peace and guard our hearts through Christ Jesus. Help us to continue to rejoice, to pray without ceasing, to give thanks in all things, knowing that this is your will for our lives. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for that, Colin. And gathering our prayers and praises into one, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And as our service comes to a close, please do join with me in the words of that wonderful hymn, Thine Be the Glory, Risen, Conquering Son. Sure, none of you are surprised that Thine Be the Glory is one of my all-time favourite hymns. Talks about the resurrected Jesus and what he did for us. Hallelujah. Living God, the resurrection of Jesus throws wide the door between ourselves and eternal life. We go through that door today, inheriting from Christ the ambition to serve you totally and to spread your kingdom. Give us, we pray, the power to turn thought into action and ambition into achievement through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let's join together in the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Please do keep yourself safe this week. I look forward to seeing some of you in person in our services next week. And if you'd like to join us, the Zoom room will be open in a few minutes for a coffee and a chat, and just to catch up with one another. Have a great week, everybody. See you all soon.